Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the weekly Thursday morning edition of the Household Express, a program dedicated to all your homemaking needs. I'm Sister Mara and delighted to be in your company up to 11 a.m. this morning. I'd agree you're taking a bit of a break. Inshallah, she will be back with us next week. Well, a bumper pack program coming your way this rainy, cold Thursday morning. Alhamdulillah, we're so blessed. Alhamdulillah, we make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for sending us such abundant rain, and we make dua that the rain is beneficial for all of us. Well, here's what you can look forward to in today's program. First up, an interview with the Al Fida School of Baking, and Claire Russell joins us. And Claire is a tutor at the Al Fida School of Baking, and she's also a graduate of Capsicum Culinary School Studio. And Claire Russell joins us online from Port Elizabeth. Good morning, Claire. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, and you?
Thank you so much for joining us on Radio Islam on this program called Household Express with myself, Amara. Well, Claire, tell us all about the Al Fida School of Baking.
The Al Fida School of Baking officially opened on the 7th of August this year. We've had two groups graduate already, and we are busy with our third group. We offer a four-week baking course to young women in disadvantaged communities all around Port Elizabeth, whereby we teach them how to bake and decorate confidently. The course allows them to earn an income immediately from home.
Okay, lovely. What a great initiative. And Claire, you are a graduate of the Capsicum Culinary School. How did you get involved with the Al Fida School of Baking?
I was fortunate enough to have my CV sent by Capsicum, and then I went for an interview and a trial along with several competent bakers, and then was fortunate enough to be offered the position. I'm extremely grateful to be part of this organization. Not many people get to go to work every day doing what they love and giving back to the community.
Absolutely, indeed. It's absolutely great. Now, Claire, tell us about the four-week home baker course that has recently been launched by the Al Fida School of Baking.
Okay, so we offer a free four-week baking course to six women around Port Elizabeth area from disadvantaged communities. We teach them how to bake cakes, cupcakes, and biscuits and decorate them so that at the end of the course they'll be able to start start a business from home and earn an income.
Absolutely, yes. That is really a great initiative, yes. And how has the feedback and response been since the launch of the course?
It's been amazing. We've had very positive feedback, and majority of our past students are taking what we've taught them and starting to use it to earn income from home. Our students have set big goals for themselves, and we have tried to motivate and inspire them as much as possible. We are very proud of what they've achieved so far and assist them where we can.
Lovely. Now, Claire, why has the skill of baking been chosen?
We've chosen baking because it's it's a low startup, so it's easy to acquire the ingredients and the equipment. It's instant cash upon baking, so profits used. You can buy more ingredients, and you can buy you can cover home expenses. And also, there's no formal education needed to have the skill, and you develop the skill as you go, so the more you develop, the more income you'll get.
Yes, absolutely, yes. And, you know, it's something that they're going to be loving, they're going to be enjoying, and they want to do it more and more and more, yes. Now, what are the objectives of the Al Fida School of Baking, Claire?
Our objectives are to offer a free baking course to unemployed and unskilled ladies in the community, to teach them to bake confidently so they can earn an income from home. And upon completing the course, the bakers will be self-employed and able to create employment, which will benefit many people in their homes, family, and community.
Absolutely, yes. Now, what products will be baked, Claire?
So we teach the girls the most popular product we sell in the community. So we teach them cupcakes, cakes, and biscuits. And we also teach them buttercream and raw icing so they can decorate their products.
Yes. Now, what happens to the products baked by the students?
All products baked are then donated to orphanages and old age homes in the community. We also ask the listeners to donate products they bake to the community and around them.
Yes. Now, what support is required from the community out there, Claire?
Since Alfeda School of Baking is a non-profit organization, we require funds to assist the free course. So all funds given will be used to buy products, the ingredients and equipment needed. We also intend on expanding the workshop because we so far have 30 pending applicants and we can only take six students per month.
All right. Okay, and also, Claire, how can one get in touch with the Alfeda School of Baking?
They can phone on our telephone number at 041-484-1288, or they can visit our website at www.alfeda.co.za, or they can visit our Facebook page or Instagram page.
Okay. Lovely, Claire. Thank you so much for the interview, Claire. And we wish you all the success and grant you lots and lots of success in the Alfeda School of Baking. Indeed, a great initiative, yes, for the underprivileged girls out there. They can actually come and learn to bake and also go out there and earn an income. Yes, indeed, what a great initiative. Well done to the Alfeda School of Baking and to you as well, Claire.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Claire. You enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye.
Well, that was Claire Russell, and she was from the Alfeda Foundation and the Alfeda School of Baking, and they actually recently opened on the 7th of August, and they're offering a 4-week home baker's course, and it's free without any fees or payment to 6 students of disadvantaged communities who are inexperienced in baking and decorating. Students are tutored by a graduate of the Capsicum Culinary School and taught how to bake and decorate cupcakes, cakes and biscuits, and this course allows them to earn an income from the home immediately. So what a great initiative, yes. And you can even follow them on Instagram, that's Alfeda School of Baking, and you can in fact just Google Alfeda School of Baking and you'll get the whole details on the website as well. So let's go for a short break, but in fact before we go for a short break, coming up now is the home making and cooking segment, and like I said last week, I've got Sister Hava Surti in the studio with me, and Sister Hava used to be a teacher at one of the high schools in Indonesia. She's retired now, and she's going to be telling us more about the basics of cooking and baking. And today we're talking about the different doughs, the different types of baking, the various methods, terms, and also how to halve your recipes. And in the recipe segment, we're going to be sharing with you 2 lovely recipes. And it's nice for the young girls out there that's on holiday for this week. We've got a savory muffins recipe and a patty pan scones recipe. So coming up after the break, stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back. Well, let's now go on to the home making and cooking segment. And like I said earlier on, before the break, Sister Hava Surti is my guest in the studio, and she will be for the next couple of weeks. And we're actually going to be doing the basics of cooking and baking. Today we're talking about baking. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Hava, how are you?
Assalamu alaikum, alhamdulillah, we are well.
And Sister Hava, jazakallah for joining me and coming on in, sharing your knowledge with us on cooking and baking. And tell us a little bit about yourself, Auntie Hava.
Alhamdulillah, thank you for accepting my work that I'm going to be doing. And I'm a retired teacher, and I'm a stay-at-home mum and grandmother. And I'd like to do something to help the community, especially the young girls who are wanting to emulate their mummies or their grandmas when it comes to baking and cooking.
Alhamdulillah, yes. Anjava, what are we going to be discussing today on? Let's start off with doughs and batters, yes. Tell us more about doughs and batters.
Okay. I would like to take you on a journey of cake making, so that we can understand how the ingredients we use complement one another, giving you the delectable end result. Because when we have occasions, we're always worried about how are we going to cook, how are we going to look, and what are the things we make to make an attractive tea table, especially at a wedding occasion. Doughs and batters, these are basic needs that we have to mix and include all flour mixtures like scones, cakes, pancakes, pastries, and breads. Doughs are mixtures with a stiff, pliable consistency, whereas batters have a more liquid consistency. When making flour mixtures, we use ingredients like baking powder, eggs, sugar, shortening, and liquids to combine, leaven, and improve the taste. Let's take flour, for instance. It's made from wheat. It has a protein called gluten, which when hydrated becomes elastic, causing the dough to stretch. That's when you have these lovely breads when they almost come out of the cake pan.
Mm.
Bread flour is a strong flour, while cake flour is soft and weak. So the one cannot be used as a substitute for the other.
Okay, Auntie Hava, can I just stop you there?
Uh-huh.
Ordinary flour is made from wheat. So what can you... And bread flour, as you say, is a strong flour.
Mm.
Now, bread flour can be used for what?
Bread flour can be used for bread making. Only bread making.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have maybe like our Indian rotis, you can even use it for that.
Yes.
So that you have a lovely texture when it is cooked.
Okay, is it better to use bread flour when making rotis, or better to use a normal cake flour?
Both are good to use, but the resulting textures are different.
All right, okay. Mm-hmm. And then obviously your normal flour you're going to use for your cakes, your biscuits, your mm-hmm. pastries and things like that.
Yeah.
Okay. What is the best way, Auntie Hava, to store flour?
The best way to store flour is in an airtight container, and you must not keep the flour for more than a month.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Because it loses some of its air,
mm-hmm.
and it becomes extra lumpy.
Okay.
All right. And when you're using bread flour, buy the amount you need for that use,
mm-hmm.
so that... you have done with it and you are not keeping it over a couple of months or so.
All right. And, you know, say for instance, are you going to be going on holiday and you've got flour, can you leave it in the fridge or the freezer?
You really don't have to if your kitchen is cool enough.
Cool.
Yeah.
Mm.
But if you're going for like extended periods on holidays, like 3-4 months, then it's advisable to leave it in the fridge.
All right. And you know, you get those nice flour tins. Mm. It's like a steel tin, actually nice to keep flour in, where it keeps it cool.
Try to
avoid keeping flour in a plastic container as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And you may continue, Auntie Hava.
Okay, then we go on to raising agents, which is baking powder. This is a chemical agent which becomes active when moisture is added, and it produces carbon dioxide when heated.
Mm.
Therefore, when you are making your batters or your cake mixtures, immediately you add the liquid, put it into your pans, and place it in the oven.
All right.
Because the baking powder starts acting.
Okay. So when do you add your baking powder in?
It's supposed to be added in last.
Last.
Yeah.
Even with biscuits?
Even with biscuits.
All right. Even with maybe like a bhajja for that matter?
Also. Last, yeah. Don't let this mixture stand.
All right. Mm-hmm. And you we're talking about raising agents,
mm-hmm.
and then I know baking powder is a raising agent.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the listeners want to tell us about raising agents as well. They can SMS or WhatsApp us. What are the different types of raising agents?
We have air, which is incorporated by beating or rolling and folding, as in the case of pastry
making.
Right? And then we have yeast, right, which is for bread making. And then you also use bicarb in certain breads, like health breads, for example.
Yes.
And bicarb will always be used with a sweetener like honey. Or syrup.
Or golden syrup, yes.
Yeah.
It's like when you're making ginger biscuits for that matter.
Yes.
You're going to be using bicarb and golden syrup.
Yeah.
That
gives it that crispness, and it improves on the color of the end product.
And then sometimes there's some recipes of non-kathai that actually have bicarb in.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what we're going to ask listeners out there, you know, what are the types of raising agents? And maybe the young girls out there that's on holiday today can perhaps SMS or WhatsApp us on 082-565-8648. Tell us, what are the raising agents? There are different types of raising agents, yes. I know eggs are also a raising agent.
Yeah, incorporated when they are whipped.
When they
especially
are whipped.
The whites.
All right. And how do you use raising agents in certain types of baking?
Well, you follow the recipe, and when they tell you at that certain time, like maybe instruction number 3 or 4, add your raising agent, and that's how you add it. And it must be sifted. into the mixture. Otherwise, you will have it collecting in pockets in your batter, so that when the product is baked, then you'll have large holes in the end product.
All right. Very, very, very interesting, Auntie Ava. I'm really enjoying this program. In fact, we're learning so much, you know. Mm-hmm. It's basically going back to basics, okay? We've got a question here from a sister. Mm-hmm. So now, when a recipe says 1 cup butter, about how many grams is it?
That's about 250 grams.
250 grams, okay. Mm-hmm. That's for the sister. So when a recipe says 1 cup, it's about 250 grams. It also depends on what cup you're using. Your cup has to be 250 grams.
Yeah. You use a standard cup.
Mm-hmm.
Those huge long mugs will not help.
No.
No, they will not help.
Okay. Then you rather go on to a measuring cup.
You rather have.
I would say that rather use for the young girls that want to start now cooking or just newly wedded brides, and go rather get yourself a set of measuring spoons and measuring cups. You will never go wrong with that.
No, not at all.
Okay. Here's another message coming through. Assalamu alaikum, my sister Amara. I'm well in you. Missing the program because of the weather, satellite is down. Don't have Wi-Fi. Making dua that it comes back soon. Inshallah. Ameen. Well, I think the weather is creating a bit of havoc with the Wi-Fi and the satellite. But inshallah it will come back soon, sister. And yes, okay, we're talking about the raising agents. Let's now talk about the methods of making doughs, Auntie Anna.
Okay. The methods of making doughs and batters is firstly the rubbing in method, where you use your fingers, or you have a special tool that where you can use to cut in the butter.
Fine.
Because with the heat of your fingers, if you have very warm hands, then the butter melts quicker, and the end result is not so good.
So if you're hot gutted or cold gutted.
Okay. And then you have the creaming in method, where sugar and shortening is creamed together until it is light and fluffy. Right? And then after that you add the eggs. Then you have the beating and the whisking when it comes to sponge cakes, where the egg whites are whipped to a certain stage. And how to tell when your egg whites are ready, you should be able to turn your bowl right over.
And nothing comes out.
And it won't fall out. Then you know that your egg whites are well beaten.
Right.
Right. And then you have the muffin or the emulsion method, where you combine your, sift out your dry ingredients. Then you make up in your measuring jug your wet ingredients like the milk, the melted butter, or even olive oil. And you add in the eggs. The eggs, they act as a emulsion agent, and it breaks down the fat in the oil in your emulsion mixture, right? And then you have the melting method when you're making crunchies or gingerbread, right? Where you melt your ingredients like the sugar and the butter, and you can add in your golden syrup or your honey,
right?
And that is then added to your dry ingredients.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, perfect. And then let's go for a short break. Now, when we come back, we're going to be telling you about how to divide recipes in half. Stay tuned. Assalamualaikum and welcome back. We've got Sister Hawa in the studio with me, and we're talking about back to basics of cooking and baking. And before the break, we were talking about terms used in baking. So we're going to come to that as well. We were talking about rubbing or cutting, creaming, how to divide recipes. So we're going to talk about how to divide recipes, and also if a recipe calls for maybe in half an egg, how do you do that now? But before we do that, just something that comes to mind now. You said that rubbing or cutting using fingertips. You know, sometimes we very hot blooded or cold blooded. Does it make a difference to your doughs and pastry and things like that?
The end result does have a difference. It may be slightly denser.
All right.
In texture. That's the only withdrawn, you know, that's the only setback.
Okay. And I think we're so spoiled today because we have all this newly launched machines and baking machines like the Kenwood, the Magic Mix. So we don't even use our hands. We're making roti. I think the only time we're making roti is making it into a nice round ball and we've got a rolling pin because we've got all the gadgets
that
around.
That is true, yeah.
You know, not like, you know, when our mothers and our great grandmothers, you know, when they were alive, they used to actually use their hands for everything.
Everything was with the hand. That's why they used to call it handmade roti.
Handmade roti. And also, they actually used to use a wooden spoon to actually beat the cupcakes or the plain cake, and there is not even a cane hood or a major mix would come near the texture of that wooden spoon and the hand. I think it was the golden hands.
You're right there.
The golden hands, yes. And so, how do you divide recipes now?
Okay, when you look at a recipe, read up all the ingredients and the amounts. And when you are dividing, you divide every ingredient on the ingredient side. Make a note of it on the side, because while you are baking, you may just leave out one and then you're going to have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if the recipe calls for half an egg weighs about 50 to 53 mils or 50 to 53 grams.
Okay.
Beat the whole egg and then using a measuring spoon, remove the required amount and then use it in your baking.
All right.
Okay.
So you're going to crack open the egg, beat it, and then measure
it. Then measure it.
And then take half that amount.
Half the amount.
Very, very interesting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we always wonder, how, you know, now we need to, what if a recipe calls for half an egg, what do I do now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So this is actually a great way in doing. And like you said, you know, read your recipe through properly. Make sure you got your proper ingredients. Make sure you have the proper, understand the terms of the baking. Yes, I think that's most important, you know, understanding the terms. And if we talk about the terms, what are some of the terms used in baking, Antiava?
Just 1 second.
Priyanka came with a whole of her baking cards. She's well, well equipped, yes.
Terms used in baking is whipping, where you beat up egg whites with a rotary beater or an electric beater to incorporate as much air and to increase the volume. Right? Then you have sifting, where you pass your dry ingredients through a metal screen or a sieve to incorporate air and break up lumps, and if there are any impurities in the flour, it will remain behind on the sieve. Then you have the creaming, where it's creaming the shortening and the sugar till soft and fluffy. Sometimes when you are making tarts like a pecan tart or a lemon meringue tart, you have to bake the pastry blind. Now by baking blind, all you have to do is line your pie plate with the pastry, place a greaseproof paper on the pastry and weight it down with baking beans or with rice.
Mm.
This prevents the sides of the pastry from collapsing.
Absolutely great stuff coming through, yes. Terms used in baking. And I think many people don't know what's it to bake blind.
Yeah, that is a bit of a
tricky
thing, and also lots of conversation where people want to know like how and why.
Mm-hmm.
Because in some cases you partially bake the pastry. Like 3 weeks ago I made a tuna tart.
Mm-hmm.
So it said bake blind, then you bake it, and then you've got your tuna mixture where it's already cooked. All you got to do is just set the egg.
Okay.
Right, so you pour this into the pastry after you remove the baking beads or the rice.
Mm-hmm.
And then you bake it, and then you have your sides where it contains or holds your filling.
Alright, okay, lovely. And then Antiava, now what happens if you running short of ingredients for that matter? That means you can now substitute. How do you substitute? For instance, if you're running short of an egg, what would be a substitute of egg?
Just 1 second. Okay, if you're running short of an egg, right, you started baking and you already used 2 or 3 eggs and you need a fourth one, then what you can do is,
okay, Auntie Hava is just going through her cards. Okay, I think you've got it here.
Yeah, there it is. If you're running short of an egg, the substitutes will be: replace one egg with 2 tablespoons of golden syrup, or you can use 1/4 cup of mashed banana, or 1/4 cup of unsweetened applesauce, or you can take 2 tablespoons of water, 1 teaspoon of vegetable oil, and 2 teaspoons of baking powder. Mix this well and use that as an egg.
Interesting. Okay?
But you must remember, the end result will taste good but will have a slightly dense texture, and you cannot replace all the eggs with these substitutes.
Oh, it's going to be way too sweet.
Yeah.
Yes.
It will have a negative effect on the basic product.
That's why I think, you know, if you're going to be making something, make sure you've got all your ingredients. If you don't have one ingredient, rather leave it out, go and buy it, come back and make it.
And do it again.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always have queries and requests. I ran short of self-raising flour. How do I make my own self-raising flour?
Right, that's an easy one. You take your cup of flour, 250 mils or 250 grams, and you add 7 mils of baking powder, passing it through a sieve so that the baking powder is distributed throughout the flour grains.
All right.
Right?
Okay.
And if you run short of buttermilk, right, which we sometimes use when we are making scones,
mm-hmm.
right, then all you take is 250 mils of your milk and add 2 tablespoons of white vinegar. And
okay.
that will give you a nice amount of buttermilk.
Buttermilk, yes, lovely. And also, if you run short of baking powder, now what do you do with the other?
Yeah, when you're running short of baking powder, you can make your own baking powder by taking 2 tablespoons of bicarb, 4 tablespoons of cream of tartar, and 2 tablespoons of cornstarch. Mix that well together. And cornstarch is also known as Maizena.
Maizena, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mix all that together, use the required amount, and seal the rest very, it must be airtight.
Right, okay. Auntie Ava, Jazakala, so much. You know, I've learned so much. I'm sure the listeners out there, and we're getting such great feedback from the listeners. And before we go to the recipe segment, I have to read out some of the feedback I've received. Mm-hmm. This one says, Jazakala, for the inspiring programs, my neighbors make a very tasty naan bread to have with mutton curry. They use chana dal water. They remove the water when they boil the chana grain dal. Mm-hmm. Jazakala, for sharing that tip, sister. Much appreciated. Then this one says, Salam, Sister Mara, and our new guest, Sister Hava. I have a question. Example, we make a puri dough, and because you added extra flour and I added little extra baking powder, I find the puri becomes crispy. How do we repair a mistake like that? Jazakallah for a lovely program.
Oh, to repair a mistake like that, if you added too much flour, then increase your liquid slightly, but add gradually, not all at one time,
right.
Like a tablespoon at a time, so that you get the correct consistency.
Okay. Mm. So, you know, as you go along, we can learn, we can just but learn as well. Mm. And, well, I really enjoyed your information and coming on and sharing with us. You know, these are all basic things that we can actually go back, going back to basics again, of baking as well. And you have a stay in the studio with me. We're going to be doing the recipe segment up next.
Can I just come in with
sure.
sisters? When
okay,
we make
lovely,
cook sisters,
yes.
You use a boiled potato.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so you use the boiled water to mix your dough. So that's another way of adding liquid to a flour mixture.
The same boil, yes.
Yes,
okay.
Potato water.
The potato water. But I suppose that water mustn't be now be very, very
not
hot.
Not boiling, though. No.
Not boiling.
It must be body temperature around about 37 degrees.
Because it's going to kill the yeast.
It will kill the yeast.
So it's always good to put a potato in a cooker.
Yeah, it makes it lighter.
Lighter as well. And it's same water you can use to mix your dough.
To mix your dough.
Excellent tips, excellent. I think you need to write a book on all of the terms and things like that.
Oh, yes. There's lots of books and magazines out there. If you go around looking, you will find it.
And I mean, Ajava, you're so experienced indeed. Yes.
Jazakallah.
Okay. Inshallah, Auntie Greja, back in the studio. It will be 3 of us. And I'm going to have 2 experts every week now in the studio sharing with us the back to basics of cooking and baking. And let's go for a short break. When we come back, we're going to be doing the recipe segment. And we've got 2 lovely, simple, easy recipes. And we're going to be sharing with you a savory muffins recipe and a Patty Pan scones recipe. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. Let's now go on to the recipe segment of the program. And today we have 2 very easy, simple, delicious, tasty recipes. We have a savory muffins recipe and a Patty Pan scones recipe. Let's begin with the savory muffins recipe. It's very easy for those young girls out there, even those boys out there that want to help in the kitchen and just find something to do and enjoy as well. It's a very, very easy recipe. All you need is for the savory muffins, you need 1 egg. That's 1 egg. Then 1 small tin sweet corn, 1 small tin sweet corn, 1.5 cups flour, that's 1.5 cups flour, 2 teaspoons baking powder, 2 teaspoons baking powder, 1 teaspoon salt, 1 teaspoon salt, 2 teaspoons ground jeeru, 2 teaspoons ground jeeru, 3/4 cup milk, 3/4 cup milk, 3/4 cup oil, 3/4 cup oil, then 3 teaspoons green masala, 3 teaspoons green masala, and some green dhania cut up. And some green dhania cut up. So for the savory muffins recipe, it's 1 egg, 1 small tin sweet corn, 1.5 cups flour, 2 teaspoons baking powder, 1 teaspoon salt, 2 teaspoons ground jeeru, 3/4 cup milk, 3/4 cup oil, 3 teaspoons green masala, and some green dhania cut up. For the method, very simple, very easy. You mix all ingredients together, spray muffin pans and bake. And there is a variation to this. You can add in some chopped bologna, some cold meat, some cooked chicken, some cube potatoes as well that has been pre-boiled or fried. And it's very, very tasty and easy recipe as well, and ideal for a rainy day. That's today. And the next recipe is a petit pain scones recipe. You know, Auntie Hava, I made this yesterday. It came out so nice. It's so, so easy to make.
I am going to try it.
Very easy. Ideal for a rainy day indeed, yes. And very, very easy. The ingredients are 3 cups flour. That's 3 cups flour. 3/4 cup icing sugar. 3/4 cup icing sugar. 6 teaspoons baking powder. 6 teaspoons baking powder, 4 ounces of butter, 4 ounces of butter, and 1/4 cup oil, and 1/4 cup oil. Now you beat all the above ingredients together in a magic mix. Then you add in 3/4 cup sour milk, that's 3/4 cup sour milk, 1/4 cup water, 1/4 cup water, 1 egg and a little vanilla essence. 1 egg and a little vanilla essence. Then you grease your petit pains or your cupcake pans. You scoop 1 tablespoon in each petit pan. Brush with egg and bake at 180 degrees until light brown. Very simple, very easy. Let me quickly run through those ingredients again for the petit pain scones. It's 3 cups flour, 3/4 cup icing sugar, 6 teaspoons baking powder, 4 ounces butter, 1/4 cup oil. Now you beat all the above ingredients together in a major mix. Then add in 3/4 cup sour milk, 1/4 cup water, 1 egg and a little vanilla essence. Grease petit pans or your cupcake pans. Scoop a tablespoon in each petit pan. Brush with egg and bake at 180 degrees until light brown. Very simple, very easy. In fact, those teens out there that's on holiday can certainly make up those recipes as well.
Can I add in a little bit?
Yes, sure,
okay.
Sure.
When you've made the mixture and you want to put your mixture into the patty pans, use an ice cream scoop.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then you'll get them all equal, mm-hmm, so that they rise and bake at all the same size.
And what you can do with the ice cream scoop is dip it in hot water or in oil.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that the mixture falls out easily.
Very, very. It's very simple, very easy, and very tasty as well. And, you know, it's very easy because now you don't have to still make a dough and roll it out and cut it. So it's quite easy in those petit pains indeed, yes. So I really enjoyed today's program. You know, we actually started off with the interview with the Elfrida School of Baking, and they just recently launched a home baker's course, and they're actually taking students from disadvantaged homes as well and teaching them to cook and bake, and so that they can also earn a living. So a great initiative from that. You can even follow them on Instagram, that's Elspeta School of Baking, or even Google them, and you get all the information out there. And then Auntie Hava has come on in and shared with us all the basics of baking as well. And we did the recipe, savory muffins and patty pan scones. Inshallah, Auntie Kreja back with us next week, and Auntie Hava as well. Jazakallah, Auntie Hava, for coming on in. Inshallah, we look forward to your topic next week as well.
Jazakallah for having me.
I mean, always
a
pleasure.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
Yes, and you too, Auntie Hava. That's where we leave it for today. From me, Amara, and Auntie Hava, Surti. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.